Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Last week and earlier on, I was telling you guys I was driving my car and I saw a young girl having what looked like a seizure. It was a seizure. Now, thankfully, before I had to do anything, her parents arrived and took care of her. But the thing is, I wouldn't have known what to do. I still really don't know what to do. So we thought we'd get Nurse Sarah Kearns in to advise us on what should we do in a situation like that. Sarah, how's it going?
Hello. Good to talk to you.
Now, first of all, are seizures common?
Like, I suppose... You would say, I guess say yes, because it can happen for so many different reasons. And what seizures are, they're bursts of uncontrolled electrical activity in the brain. So your brain is just ticking along as normal, then all of a sudden there's sort of this burst of electrical activity. And then that can cause, and people can kind of call it an electrical storm nearly in the brain. And it can cause all sorts of, so seizures can present in loads of different ways. So you can have anything, a seizure can be anything from an absent seizure. So basically that somebody all of a sudden will be chatting away as normal and then all of a sudden just stop,
yeah,
and they start staring at nothing and they just completely stop moving. It can last a minute or two and then they can go back to normal afterwards, right? So that can be an absent seizure, and it depends on where these little bursts of electrical activity in the brain happens. If it's in a tiny part of the brain or a specific part of the brain, you might have an absent seizure. If it happens on a certain side of the brain, you might have, what, you know, maybe one arm will start jerking and last, that could be a seizure as well. And so they're very, very unique to the person and they're completely varied, right?
Wow.
But when we talk about seizures, what you witness is generally what was formerly known as a grand mal seizure and what we call now is a tonic-clonic seizure. So it's a full on the ground, all, you know, all your limbs, your whole body jerking and moving uncontrollably. So that would be what you would have witnessed, and very frightening to witness. It can be very, I know somebody with epilepsy and she was saying that what is hard for her. And I never, as a nurse, really took this into consideration. She knows it's coming because sometimes people get an aura. Not all people, but some people get an aura. So all of a sudden they might smell coal, taste chocolate, something like that. That'll indicate to them that this is going to happen. They might get a warning, a trigger warning, and maybe 15 minutes later, so they can get themselves into a safe space to have a seizure. So sometimes other people will get what's called a drop attack. So all of a sudden, boom, they're on the ground.
I've heard of that. I was actually speaking to a friend of mine yesterday about her partner having one of these. Never was prone to them, never happened in their life, and randomly in a supermarket down on the ground, and hasn't happened since or before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then I read that 1 in 10 people will have some sort of seizure in their lifetime.
And it can be caused by lots of different things. So if you think about, so epilepsy is definitely one cause by 40,000
people
in Ireland.
So that's
one cause. So it's an umbrella term for epilepsy is a neurological disorder that presents as seizures, right? So that's sort of an umbrella term for a seizure. People that have, sometimes with people with epilepsy, they've been really well controlled on medication or might have had surgery. A small amount of people with epilepsy can be treated with surgery, but you might have one seizure once, get on medication, never have one again. Other people have them quite regularly, but there's so many causes of seizures, right? So epilepsy is one of them. Obviously trauma, maybe you've had a head injury in the past, maybe you've had a stroke, low blood pressure. You know when you're pregnant that they test your urine to see if there's protein in your urine? Preeclampsia is what they're worried. A symptom of preeclampsia when it gets quite serious can be that you can have a seizure. Pregnant people can have seizures. And what's interesting, when you think about small babies, they can have febrile seizures. And that's related to what they say, temperatures. And the interesting thing, I was at a talk last week and they were saying that, you know, when we really were, you have small kids and you know when you're really worried about these high temperatures with small babies and we're like, oh, it's 40, they could have a febrile seizure. Actually, firstly, the most common temperature that they say for a febrile seizure is 37.5. So that's relatively low. Like we wouldn't really be worried.
Yeah.
And then you can be sort of about half of people with epilepsy, for example, have no family history or anything and no known cause of it. So you might have, just say, that person have one seizure as a once-off and never have it again. It can be caused by lots of different things, you know. So it can happen just as a once-off in your life. You hear lots of people having a seizure when they're young and then they go in for all the tests, they go and see your neurologist, they have what's called an EEG. So it kind of monitors their brain function over a period of time and tries to get a diagnosis. And they can have that but then never have one again. It's sort of grow out of it or whatever.
So let's say someone has a seizure, a random seizure. They haven't been diagnosed with epilepsy or anything like that, and they have a seizure. Can they be tested afterwards and find out the cause?
Yeah, sometimes. A lot of the time, I guess that they probably have no idea what the cause was, but okay. What a GP would refer you to a neurologist, and then they do a whole host of tests on your brain. That it's sort of like loads of different stickers, like an EEG. So that just tests the electric and has a look at the electrical waves in the brain over a period of time. They might have scans on their brain and tests, and the neurologist will have to do a whole host of tests and see can they find a cause for it.
Is that imperative to do soon after the seizure?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And the GP soon as so often see that when it comes to I suppose when it comes to having a seizure and you know you need to get kind of medical help, especially if you've never had one before. You need, an ambulance needs to be called, and then that'll trigger that response. So if you arrive in to an emergency department after having a seizure, you've never had one before, it's totally unexplained seizure, they're going to look at why. Is there something in your brain that is malfunctioning causing that? So that'll kind of trigger the fact you'll be seen by a neurologist when you're in the hospital or as an outpatient afterwards. So they'll do a whole host of tests. So if you present to an emergency department with a seizure, never ever had one before, they'll want to know why. You know, what's causing it.
Yeah. Okay, so what should we do?
So, firstly, a really, really good thing is Epilepsy Ireland, brilliant website. And if you kind of want to know a little bit more, it's a really just a whole host of information. But the interesting thing is about seizures from a first aid point of view, they can be extremely frightening to witness because, and they generally last maybe the full-blown grand mal tonic-clonic seizures, the full body ones are on the ground, the person can be unconscious, you know, all their limbs moving, and they can be making noises. Is actually just let it run its course. Okay, so you need to stay calm. Anything with first aid, make sure you're safe and they're safe. So just say it happens in an unsafe environment, side of a road, you need to make sure that the person is safe having it. Are they sitting on a chair before they see? Do they need to be lay on the ground? Because are they going to fall? Are they in danger? So get the person safe. Try and stay calm. Okay, so absolutely under no circumstances put anything in the mouth. That would remember that. Do you remember that when you were even when we were young? That would have been the thing. Put us with nothing in the mouth, okay. And you just let it run its course. Okay, and what Epilepsy Ireland definitely recommend that that if at all possible, maybe a little cushion, or even if you just had a jacket with you under the back of the head, because if somebody's trashing around on the ground, they can hurt the back of their head. You know, cut the back of their head. Something a little bit under the head. Reassure them in a soft voice. So if you imagine that the electrical activity in your brain is going absolutely haywire, things are, so you just need to keep things calm, slow voice, say I'm here with you, and reassurance. You just let it happen, getting a good idea of the time. So if you have a quick look at your watch and say, okay, this is happening, and even at 10:21 or whatever, okay, get an idea of time. It just gives you an indication of how long the seizure. So they say afterwards, people can be really drowsy. Once it stops, roll them on their side. Two different reasons. We want to protect the airway, but if they vomit after or anything like that, we just want to make sure that it'll pool out of their mouth, they won't swallow it, so onto their side. One of the things I would definitely say as well, often people, not often, but people can, when they're having seizures, pee themselves and things like that. So I would absolutely advocate for putting something over the groin area, you know, from the waist to the knee, just cover them. Just if that does happen, you want to clear everyone away whenever someone's having a seizure as well. So only don't leave them on their own, but if there's 20 people around, get rid of, keep three if you get rid of the rest of the people, because it's, you know, to maintain somebody's dignity.
Yeah.
I remember this friend of mine saying the hardest thing for her, and she just, her first dinner with her boyfriend's parents, and she'd never met them before, and she had a seizure. The stress, there can be loads of triggers for seizure. And one of hers is that she'd come off night duty and she was stressed over this meeting, the parents, tired, and she ended up having a seizure. But she said the hardest thing for her is that she doesn't know what happens. She's never obviously seen herself having a seizure. And she's saying that release and not, you know, you've no control over your body. You can't control a seizure. We can't control someone having a seizure. We just have to let it happen. Keep them safe. Roll them on their side. Okay. Cover them. Nothing in the mouth. Something under the head. They say in terms of calling an ambulance, if somebody has known, have a look at the wrist and just see if they have a bracelet on, an epilepsy bracelet, you know, a little silver bracelet. Most of the time they're silver, and they might have, say, epilepsy or something, a trigger bracelet. Sometimes people with diabetes have them. Have a look at the wrist. If somebody has epilepsy, they say call an ambulance if the seizure lasts more than 5 minutes. In my opinion, that if you don't know anything about this person, absolutely get an ambulance coming, because you've no idea, they could be having a stroke that's causing this.
Mm.
Absolutely get an ambulance coming. And if you're worried, if the person is, if you're very concerned at all, just call an ambulance and just don't worry. The general rule as per Epilepsy Ireland, if it lasts more than 5 minutes, okay, get an ambulance. But I wouldn't be afraid to. If you've never met this person, absolutely. If someone's never had a seizure before, just go for it, ring an ambulance.
A lot of texts coming in. Just want to read them out to you. My daughter was recently diagnosed with absent seizures. She's 9. Hopefully by the time she's a teenager, she will grow out of them. She's on medication now for 2 years and thankfully they are after easing a bit.
Great.
Because she was getting up to maybe 5-6 a day.
That's real. And that would imagine the impact on your life. I'm glad they're under control. That's great.
Medication. What kind of medication are
they talking? So there's loads of different types. Tegretol, Keppra. There's a couple of that you'll often hear, but it's kind of specific to the person. They won't suit everyone and it's very much about titrating it. So you might start, you might go, your GP will send you to a neurologist and neurologist then will take over your care and they might say, okay, listen, we're going to start an X amount. We might start on a once a day, twice a day, whatever. And you see by the, there'll be clinical nurse specialists associated with this neurologist. So you'll have really good support, but they might start you on a type of medication. They might change it. And then if you're just say planning to have a baby, you can't get pregnant on certain medications. So they might change you. And it's all about kind of going with your, with your body and how your time keeping monitored.
When someone's having a seizure, are they just having like a blackout? Like what are they experiencing?
So it varies massively from person to person. So somebody having a grand mal seizure will actually be unconscious. So they won't be able to communicate with you at all. They'll be totally unconscious. So they, like if you're saying hello, they won't open their eyes. They won't communicate. They won't be responsive to you at all until it's over. And then absent seizures, it's, you know, when we were talking earlier on about like keeping things calm. So just say you have somebody an absent seizure like that mom, like she would know now because a lot of parents then are trained to by the clinical nurse specialists and the team to deal with the seizures. So it's like not to be shaking them. Hello, can you hear me? Because you just imagine how stressful that would be on your already your brain is sort of, you know, the electronics of your brain are just going, it'd be so distressing. So it depends from some people. Most of the time, people won't be aware during the time that they're having it that it's happening, but they'll be aware just leading up to it and immediately after. But you can be very drowsy and exhausted. And often someone who will have a grand mal seizure will come into the emergency department, like they'll be in Dunn's and they'll have it. And then someone will call an ambulance, they come into us, they could sleep for 12 hours. They'll be exhausted from it. It's just a huge event for your body. Some people would have what we call a low threshold for seizures so that they could have triggers. You know, on, you'd know this from the telly, that they'd say sometimes give a warning if there's flashing lights. About 3 to 5% of people epilepsy will have seizures and it'd be triggered by flashing lights in the telly. Other people would be stressed, tiredness, exhaustion, sickness. You know, things like that can really trigger and lower someone's threshold and then they can have a seizure.
I suppose if you suffer from ongoing seizures in your life, do you have to look at your lifestyle to manage it?
Absolutely. Alcohol intake and lead a healthy lifestyle, you know, sleep well at night, making sure you get an adequate amount of sleep and you keep, you know, your body is nourished and it's well looked after. It's like anything with a chronic condition. But certainly, I've worked with a few nurses over my time and midwives that have had epilepsy and they don't do night duty, for example, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they wouldn't do night duty. I didn't do night duty in the last couple of years of diabetes because actually that was detrimental to my blood sugars and my health. So that was really helpful. They mightn't, because maybe tiredness as a trigger for them. Something that really was interesting, just I worked with somebody recently with the epilepsy who had seizure meeting her in-laws, and we had a buddy system. So sometimes people with epilepsy can get this medication, midazolam, and it's this medication when they're having seizure, and it basically relaxes the volume, the body, okay, and it's, you squirt it on the inside of somebody's cheek. Okay, and it's prescribed for them and everything. But if, just say you're in, we're all going back to the office now. Just say somebody disclosed to you that they have epilepsy and they seizures, and maybe they take this medication, or even if they don't, you know what would be a really good comforting thing? And we had a buddy system with this person that I worked with. So you'd say, just say I was on with her that day, and say, okay, so listen, we're working together today. I know where your midazolam is. I know where your medication is. So if you have a seizure, if you start feeling, I'll check on you throughout the day, make sure that you're all right. If you're feeling unwell, you just let me know. And if you have a seizure, I'll stay with you. I'll get your medication. I'll do this, and have kind of a plan in place. And I can imagine that as a sort of a buddy system would be so comforting, knowing that someone's looking
out for
you. Imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good idea because it's so common. It is so common.
Like 40,000 people in Ireland have epilepsy, and that's a diagnosis. And that's not counting, you know, there's 50 million people worldwide with epilepsy, but that's not counting the likes of that person that hasn't got diagnosis, just the random seizures. It can cause, by sometimes people with intellectual disabilities sometimes can have seizures but not be diagnosed as epileptic.
Always interesting. Thank you so much for coming in, Nurse Sarah Kearns. And where can people find you online?
Oh, Hands On Health.
Hands On Health on
Instagram.
Active on Instagram.
So get on to me for anything you want.
Anything you need. Lottie be on to you now about the teething again.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.